2. I'm going to go through a little bit of Wednesday to jump into this morning. Behind the scene, part 2. Let's go to the book of Matthew. I really believe here this Sunday morning, if you really listen intently to the message, if you really, really listen to the message, there's going to be a lot there for you. There's going to be a lot there for you to think about. Some of you might reason with some of the message. But I can promise you here this day that the Lord is going to speak to you. And my prayer would be that you would respond, not to my voice, but the voice behind the voice, which is the voice of the Lord, that it would be speaking through my life here this day. Amen? I've been going over these verses. I want them to get in your spirit. These verses to get in your spirit. I was under warfare yesterday, and I went to my place of prayer, and I said, Lord, let me see some angels. I see the stairway, and I want to see some angels ascending, descending, more descending and ascending. I want to see an angel coming down to me. So I was able to use it, and I promise you, I'm not saying all this just to say this. I had to go back to my quarters, into my office before I went to sleep last night, to not allow the enemy to have the last thoughts within my mind before I went to sleep late last night. And I went back to my office, I had my worship music on, and I just started seeing the stairway. I want you to put it up there, please. And this ain't the greatest picture, amen, but that's Jacob. It's a stairway that reaches from earth, the Bible says, all the way to heaven. And within that, there's angels that are coming down and angels that are going up. And as Scripture is going to read today, the Lord stands at the top of this stairway that leads all the way to heaven. So in my mind, I started thinking the message that I've been preaching, I had to use it for myself. And I want to let you know that from a crazy way of thinking, how many have ever had crazy ways of thinking about somebody? Amen? I'm the pastor, so if I have them, you got them. Where you become so angry, and so your mind just takes over. It's just like a locomotive you can't stop. At that point, some of you do some crazy stuff. I had to go back to my office. I started slowing my breathing down. I says, Lord, I want to put into practice what I've been preaching. I see you there. I see the stairway. I see the angels. And I was there, and I know you're locked into my life, Lord. And I promise you that within, I stayed a little bit longer, but within 3 to 4 minutes, quickly, all my breathing went back to normal. My thinking already, I was praying for the person I was mad at. Within 3 or 4 minutes, I was praying for the individual. I wanted to pray the prayer, forgive them, for they know not what they do, but they knew what they were doing. But I still prayed that prayer, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen used it. Jesus used it. I said, what the heck, I'm going to use it. So from a state of being angry, I started seeing this dream, this vision in my mind, and I was able to come back down to earth within 3 to 4 minutes. Within the 4-minute mark, 5-minute mark, I was praying for the person that had got me upset. I was praying for the person. I knew I was going to see the stairway at the angels and see myself lying there, you know, all needing Jesus, amen. But I never thought, I knew I was going to be able to see the vision, but I never thought that within the 4-minute mark, I would be praying for that person. I was just going into the office just to be clean before I go to sleep. The Bible says, do not let the sun go down with wrath on your heart. I was just trying to cleanse myself. But within 3 minutes, a conviction came over my life that allowed me to start to pray for the person that had me going to my office to begin with. It works. It works. Amen? It works. We need to put God's word into practice. As we get into his word here this morning, I pray that some would be taking notes and that some would become convicted to get you a good study Bible, a good notebook, a fancy pen, amen, that you can come and take notes during the service. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. The Bible reads, "This then is how you should pray. O Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." This is the one I want you to catch. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Father, we thank you, we love you for this opportunity to be able to hear your word that can radically transform our lives for an eternity. Speak here this day, Holy Spirit, in your precious name we pray. And we all say in one accord, amen. So here, verse 10 says, "Your kingdom come," that's heaven, "your will be done," that's his will, "be done on earth as it is in heaven." Go back to the picture. So here, at the last step, that's earth, where Jacob is at the real top of this stairway, amen, is heaven. So here, the will of heaven, the will of the Father is taking place, and it's being done on earth through the assistance of angels. The Bible says also that when Jesus left, he spoke to his disciples that he would send a counselor, a helper, on his behalf, the Holy Spirit, on his departure. Amen? So here when... let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So here we need to come to grips here this Sunday morning that we're connected to heaven. Heaven ain't some isolated place. We're connected to heaven. And by the end of the study today, you're going to find out how much heaven is connected to your life, to your marriage, to your children, the calling upon your life. Heaven is connected to your life. And we're going to see how we're able to have heaven connect to our lives. Amen? Let's go to Genesis 28. Genesis chapter 28. I'm recapping on Wednesday as we continue to move. Genesis chapter 8. Let's go to verse 16. Go back to where you were at. The Bible reads, this right here is a story of the picture we just seen. Amen? This right here is a story of the picture that we have just seen. Amen? The story of Jacob and the angels descending and ascending. Amen? So I want us to get it in our spirit. To get it in our spirit. In order that to take place, you're going to have to really be listening. This day, you're going to have to really, really, really be listening, amen, for you can have a revelation to leave the house of God with how truly connected not only are we with heaven, but heaven is with us, amen. So here, I'm going to be reading about the picture right now, amen. It says, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely, let's go to where the angels were going, ascending, Go to 12. Stay there. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He had a dream, and he saw this stairway that led from earth all the way to heaven with angels ascending and descending on it, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Amen. I made a few points on Wednesday that if we don't come expecting, that it's very easy to miss God wanting to do a miracle in your life, it's very easy to miss what's really the activity of the angels taking place right now from heaven to earth. God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. It's real easy to miss this morning what God wants to show your life of what's taking place behind the scene for some of you in the madness that you're in. Some of you that are doing good here this morning, to be able to know what's taking place behind the scene and why you're doing so good and what's taking place behind the scene. Amen? I go, here God was showing Jacob what was truly taking place behind the scene of the physical realm. He was in a dream showing Jacob at this point. Jacob was on the run. And within this dream, he was showing Jacob what was taking place in the spiritual realm. The Lord would initiate it within his sleep. He would come and he would speak to Jacob within his dream, and he would let him know what truly was taking place behind the scene of his confusion. Amen? I put here, a lot of times within our struggle, we can lose perspective of what God is doing and only see what the devil is doing. That's why some will get heavenly revelation this morning, and some of you are not. 12. In verse 12, that's why I told him just to stay there where he was at. Let's go to verse 12. Go to the picture. You're switching up pictures on me, man. Why are you pulling a quick one on me like that? Miguel gave it to you? Chava did? Hey, man. I was like, man. Thought it was my glasses for a while there. Next time when I tell you leave a picture, you leave a picture there, amen? That's a good one, but man, you messed me up there, and this is all being recorded now. Yeah. I was like trying to focus in on it. I said, who's that guy? That's not Jacob. Is that his brother? Go back to the picture. There's Jacob. Got so many smart people in the church, they just want to change up what's already in practice. Okay, guys, that other guy was the imposter. He was the evil Jacob. This is the real Jacob, amen? The other Jacob acted like he wasn't doing nothing wrong. This guy is on the run, amen? So real quick, we see the stairway, and I'm saying these things over and over with reason and with purpose. We see Jacob, the real Jacob there asleep with his head on a rock. We see angels, the backside of angels, the front side of angels, and this stairway. Okay, we see it. Now we're going to read about that right now. As we go back to verse 12, amen. Here, the Bible reads, it says, he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Amen. So that was that picture. Let's go to verse 13. The pictures don't really show it really good in 13. But it says, there above it stood the Lord. There above it stood the Lord. Amen. Go ahead and put it back to the picture. So here we know the stairway where angels of God are ascending. Amen. They are ascending and descending. Jacob's fast asleep. He's having a dream. The Lord is speaking to him. And then the Lord speaks to him. Amen. He's having a dream. It's initiated from the Lord. So we go to verse 15. Go to verse 15. And within this dream, God starts speaking to Jacob, and he says, I am with you. See, right now, you could be headed the wrong way. Right now, you could have trouble within your life. There's things that you would wish would be different right now. And this is pretty much where Jacob was at. And here the Lord assures him and says, I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. What I have promised you. There's some more stuff I could share there, but I'm going to bypass it. Amen. And I put here, God wants to show each and every one of us miracles that take place behind the scene in the spiritual realm. Do not settle for being clean and sober here this day. Here, too many times, God starts off and he does a great work and we're on fire for the Lord. We're that new convert. We're talking to everybody about Jesus. But if we're not careful through time, the addiction can be broken and all of a sudden we're coming to church and we can be giving, tithing correctly and coming faithfully to the services. But then all of a sudden, if we're not careful, we can slip away from that favorable position that we had in Jesus, that we had in Jesus. And too many times we can reach a place in our life that where we're stuck at, and even where we're stuck at is still so much greater than the place that the Lord first saved us at. See, you could be stuck right now at a place and have a job, have this and have that. You know, you got your mind back, you got your body back, got your marriage back, your children back, and you can get to a place where you're stuck right now. You're stuck right now, but even though you're stuck, you can compromise and say, I'm still way, 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 way beyond where I used to be. And we can settle. We can settle to remain where we're at when the truth is God's got so much more for our lives. So much more that he still wants to do in and through your life. Amen? Behind the scene, part two, as we get into this morning's message. Genesis 28, 17. The Bible reads, this was Jacob as he awoke from his dream. Amen? Verse 17. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? It was when God was speaking to him. He seen the angels. He was on the run. He probably was miserable, went to sleep on a rock. And then all of a sudden, by the visitation of God himself and speaking to him, all of a sudden the place he was at became an awesome place because the presence of the Lord was there speaking to his individual life. And I really believe that's going to take place here this Sunday morning if you keep on listening to the word of the Lord. He goes on to say this is none other than the house of God. This is none other than the house of God. I'm going to break down here this Sunday afternoon the way I see it and the way I was ministered to. And when Jacob would say this is none other than the house of God. Amen. I put here, he couldn't have meant a physical shelter because there was no building. Because there was no building there. I mean, come on, he was, the picture shows plainly, the word says plainly that he reached this place and he went to sleep and he put his head on a rock, the Bible says. So, being the house of God, he was not speaking about a physical shelter, a place. He couldn't have meant there was an organization, a tribe, or any religious group there because he was there with no people around. It was him fast asleep on a rock and God initiating through a dream to speak into the life of Jacob. So when he said, this is none other than the house of God, I believe this is what he truly meant. I really believe he never got the revelation, but he never forgot that dream. But the revelation that this is none other than the house of God would come hundreds and hundreds of years later. Amen. In John chapter 1, that was Old Testament. Now we're in the New Testament. Amen. In John chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says that the Word became flesh. That was Jesus, amen, leaving heaven and being born of a virgin here on earth. Amen. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. He was in heaven, and now He's on earth. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now Jesus, the very person of Jesus, is here on earth now. The Bible says the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and the only who came from the Father, in other words, from heaven, full of grace and truth. This speaks of the coming of the Lord that was once in heaven, now on earth. Amen. Let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Let's go to 49. This is, again, I'm rehashing. I'm pulling a little bit off the Wednesday also. This is when Jesus was picking His first disciples. This is Jesus. Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus says, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree." He goes on to tell him, "You shall see greater things than that." I want to let you know that every one of us are going to see greater things than what God has already done in your life. Greater things are going to take place in and through your life. Before this, Nathanael was saying, "What good can come out of Nazareth?" But little did he know that heaven was hearing what he was saying. That Jesus knew what he was saying. He knew he was under a fig tree. Nothing great was taking place in his life. And Jesus would give him the revelation after he would call him by name. He says, "How do you know me?" He says, I saw you before you followed Philip to me. I saw you under that fig tree." He says, "Wow, you are the rabbi. You are the Son of God." And he became a believer because it was almost like Jesus was prophesying. And Jesus told him, "You believe only because I told you I saw you under that tree without anybody knowing you were there." He says, "You should see greater things than these." Greater things. We got to expect and we got to know that God's got greater things for each and every one of us, no matter what your current position may be about. If you're on the mountaintop, He's got a taller mountain for you to climb. He's got greater things to show you beyond the mountaintop experience that you might be experiencing this day within your life. And if you are in the valley, He's got greater things to show you. I would say the greatest things take place in the backside of the desert, in a place where no one else can take credit but Jesus. Here, no one else in this dream Jacob had could have took credit for this dream. He was not in a shelter. He was not with a crowd of people. He was by himself on the run, fast asleep on a rock. It was God that initiated this dream within the life of Jacob. It is God that initiated your salvation. The Bible says that we didn't choose God, but He chose us. God has handpicked you. God has chosen you because there's greater things that He wants to do in and through your life. And that's why our Heavenly Father puts up with us. When we're going the wrong way, thinking the wrong way, He still continues to love us with His agape love. He don't give up on us. And I'm a pastor also, a spiritual father to you guys that don't give up on you. Sometimes when you ain't doing as good as you should be, your pastor's praying even a little bit more for your behalf. That you would be able to see that stairway with angels descending and ascending, and one of those angels coming to assist you in what you need for the greater things that the Lord wants to do to happen in and through your life. Let's go to the important verse, which is 51. So he's telling Nathanael, he's a brand new convert coming to Jesus. He's ready speaking into his life. 51 says, he then added, this is Jesus speaking, I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and angels of God, this is no longer Genesis 28, the dream of Jacob. We're in the New Testament right now. Jesus is on earth. He's already getting disciples. He's already in ministry. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So here he's telling the new convert Nathanael that he would see the same dream that Jacob had, that these angels that were ascending and descending would come upon the life of Jesus. That the will of heaven, the will of God, would now be taking place on earth through the person called Jesus. Angels would be ascending and descending upon the life of Jesus, where he would be empowered in every way to do healings, deliverance, amen, where miracles were able to take place. Because there was an open heaven upon the life of Jesus. Where just as in the story of Jacob in Genesis 28, now the same wording is being used. That heaven will open and angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Don't forget that Jesus being the true first house of God, where God would abide and dwell within the life of Jesus, where access of angels ascending and descending to the life of Jesus would take place. Here, Jesus would become none other than the house of God. He would do everything that the Father would say for him to do. He did nothing on his one accord. Everything he did was what the Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Everything Jesus would be doing on earth was the will of the Father that was in heaven. So in other words, Jesus would bring the heavenly kingdom to earth. God would use his Son to abide in, amen, to his word to abide in, for his word to go forth, not just to be in the life, just to dwell in his life, but to be spoken through the life of Jesus and making disciples and teaching. So here we come to find out that Jesus was truly the none other house of God. He was the house of God. First, I put here where God will work miracles, healings, and even at times through the aid of angels in and through the life of Jesus. I put here the fulfillment of the house of God began with Jesus here on earth. Began with Jesus. Just stay with me. If I lose you right now, stay with me. I'm coming back where everybody's going to be able to understand. He was the house of God on earth as it is in heaven. Tell your neighbor, we're getting to the good part now. That wasn't loud enough. Tell your other neighbor. That other neighbor must have been asleep. That's why it didn't sound that loud. Wake up your other neighbor on the other side of you and tell him it's about to get good. Everybody awake? Nobody should have said amen or away and all that stuff. You guys. Though Jesus was the first house of God, I put here he wasn't the ultimate fulfillment of the none other but the house of God. In 1 Corinthians, we're going to find out who the second house of God is here on earth. 1 Corinthians 3:16 reads, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" The word temple, the Greek word for the word temple, simply means to dwell. Amen? To dwell. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 22. I'm going to confirm that we are the house of God here on earth as it is in heaven. In Ephesians, the Bible reads in verse 19, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ." Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, he was the first house of God, amen, here on earth. Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too, that's speaking about us, are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So here we come to find out in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, amen, that we are members of the household of God. We are members of the household of God. It's going to be a quick service, amen. Let's go back to John chapter 1, verse 51. Jamie took it. Okay, he found it. Go to 51. The Bible reads, "He then added, I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." I put here on my notes, if the angels of God were ascending and descending upon the life of Jesus, my notes say, that means if Jesus dwells within our lives, that we too have angels ascending and descending upon our lives. Because we've come to find out that Jesus is none other but the house of God on earth. He leaves, we get the person of the comfort of the helper or helper of the Holy Spirit that abides within us. I want to let you know here this day, the access that you truly have to your life that many times we don't know that we have when we're going through hard times, when we're struggling. Right now, we're in the none other than the house of God right now. We need to know that this dream that Jacob had was not something that just took place in the Old Testament, where many believe miracles stopped with the Old Testament. But these same words of angels ascending and descending upon the life of Jesus was him on earth in the New Testament. And we know that within the New Testament that Jesus was doing signs and wonders wherever he went, healing every sickness. There was nothing that he couldn't do. And that's why he says, greater things shall we do. Because he knew it before in advance, as he was telling Nathanael, that we were going to see greater things. We were going to see heaven open up. And angels were going to come upon our lives. I haven't yet got to what angels are capable of doing. So we got to go to, okay, what's the function of the angels? We need to know. That's why it's so important to have a relationship with the Lord. Because Paul was telling the church there, do you not know that you are the temple of God? We are the very dwelling place of the Lord himself. And the Lord himself abides within our lives through salvation and having a relationship with him. Well, that means we have access to angels also, not just Jesus. We're God's house here on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to speak about it real quick on angels. Let's go to Psalm 34, 7. This is what angels are able to do. We're talking power. The angel of the Lord, this is the next one says it. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. And he delivers them. Let's go to Matthew 18:10. See that you do not look down, we're speaking about angels, on one of these little ones. Talking about children. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. Could tell us that children have angels assigned to them. You with me? The angels didn't ascend and descend just for Jesus. For our children. You change your praying life a little bit if your son or daughter is not quite doing what they should be doing right now. Acts 12:15 for us adults. This is when Peter got the prison. They were worshiping the Lord. They got a jailbreak, and he's there knocking, and he's in prison. They didn't believe that it was him at the door. Amen. Verse 15 says, "You're out of your mind." They told her, she was saying, "It's Peter at the door." And they said, "Nah, he's locked up. How can it be Peter at the door? Anybody doing time that you know right now? I think they're at the church door right now." You say, "That's crazy, man. They're locked up." When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel. It must be his angel." So we're talking with the children. Assign angels in here. They said it must be Peter's angel. As if they knew something that we didn't know. But today we know. This is the power of what angels are to do. We know there's angels assigned to us. This is the power in what angels are able to do. 2 Samuel 2:13 through 17. Joab son of Zeruiah, and David's men went out and met them at the pool of Gibeon. One group sat down on one side of the pool and one group on the other side. Then Abner said to Joab, "Let's have some of the young men get up and fight hand to hand in front of us." "All right, let's let them do it," Joab said. I hope this is the right scripture. Is there anything else on that? So they stood up in there. Praise the Lord. It's the wrong one. Oh, go to 17. There's one more verse. It's okay. I gave you the wrong one. You got 2 Samuel 2:13 through 17. Is that what that is? 2 Samuel. It is. This was an incident where one angel killed, I believe it was 70 people. I think the count was 70. I think it's 70. I could find it real quick. I don't know why it's not there. But praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 37, 36 to 37. "Then the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Syrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies." Amen. Here is saying that one angel, just through one nighttime, just through night, they went to sleep when they woke up. But if everybody was killed, why was their body? It says when the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. Another translation said that all the dead bodies were soldiers. 180,000 soldiers, 185,000 soldiers were taken out by one angel. Now that's kind of hard to believe, but it's true. But what's even greater is that this angel wasn't just a massacre angel. He just wasn't going kamikaze and killing everybody because some people woke up and saw all the dead bodies. Another translation said that there were soldiers that were killed, 185,000 soldiers. In other words, they knew who to kill. That one soul, that one angel knew who to kill and who not to kill. He knew who the children were, who mom was, who the son was. He took out 185 soldiers. This angel was really knowing. It descended from heaven and it took an order from the Lord and it wiped out 185,000 soldiers. I know I hear that again when I say soldiers and sword wrong, but praise the Lord. Let's go. This is a good one coming here. Angels are strong. We just ain't got the little fairy tale ones that when you put a tooth under the pillow, that's the tooth fairy, whatever they call the tooth fairy, amen? So some of you, before this message, believe more in the tooth fairy than you do in the angels that God has for our lives. Because it's something that's been told to us. And if you're like me, I kept putting my teeth, they fell out under the pillow and it worked. So I kept putting my teeth under there. Let's go to Revelations 21 and 3. Revelations 21 and 3. The Bible reads, John speaking reads, "And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven," descending, amen. "And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain." A great chain. He had a key and a big old chain on him, amen. Verse 2 says that he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. But what I want to point out is that one angel with the key from the Father, that must have been a thick pet bull chain that he came down with, comes down with a chain and a key, and he locks up Satan. Not just like, put the chain on him, please, man, just for a couple of seconds, man. Come on, man, don't make me look. But for 1,000 years, the power of one angel, not only the power of one, the obedience of one angel. Can you imagine that assignment to that angel? All right, man, you're going down today, and God's giving out assignments, you know, to Keith and to my wife and everybody in the front row. Okay, you got to help him here, got to do this. But all right, hey, Junior, come over here, Junior, man. Hey, man, here's a key, here's a chain. Okay, what do I do with it, God? Okay, you're going to descend. And you see Satan, you see him over there? See him deceiving the church of Victor Outreach? Yeah, I want you to go up there, and I'm giving you a key. I'm lock him up with this chain. And not for the day, for 1,000 years. Go tell them. Not only the power, but these are the angels of God, because it's that third of the fallen angels, amen? These are angels of God. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven. When I tell you that I was in a storm yesterday, I mean I was in a storm. It's one of those storms that I didn't have nothing to do with me. But when it came to somebody taking the end of the stick, I had to take it. It was one of those storms that it was like a nonsense storm that I shouldn't have to have gone through. I went through it because of somebody else's, I'm going to call it negligence. I was going through a monster storm because somebody wanting to do things the way they want to do it and using their authority incorrectly. I want to let you know, man, I went and I said, God, I need to see some. I need to see a stairway. I need to see angels. And I mean, within 3-4 minutes, man, I was in the peace of the Lord where I was able to say, this is none other than the house of God. I knew that I was the temple of God where he would be able to abide in, where he would able to send angels to my life, to my aid, to my assistance when I need them. I know that the Lord abides within my life. Here in the garden, Jesus knew the backup he had with the angels, and where they were gonna, you know, they were arresting. He goes, "Why do you come with me with clubs and all this stuff, man? I never got down like that with you guys. You never had to come like that." He says, "Don't you know that I could call down a legion of angels right now and smoke you guys right now?" Even though Jesus, through the angels, through his life, and through the angels, even though he had that power and authority, he still chose to die a horrible death for you and I. Even though he had the power and the authority to stop the enemy in his tracks, he was still obedient to the Father. He would use his authority correctly. How have you been using your authority lately? Jesus had all power, authority. When he came up on the scene, the Bible says all the soldiers went flying back in the garden. It's the power of Jesus. And then he says, you thought that was heavy. I called down a legion of angels. And I think he was talking about that one of those legions in that count was that guy that killed 185,000 soldiers in one night. He's, don't let me call Junior. Don't let me call Junior. Junior's obedient. Junior's obedient. I mean, I think I want to send him. He's even gonna lock up the Satan. You guys are a bunch of kids, mocosos. That's booger kids. But he didn't use his authority incorrectly. I want to let you know that in 3 minutes, I had a peace over me exercising now what I know about the kingdom of God. and how it operates. I have gotten so much research now on angels. There's tons of stuff, of scriptures I could be rattling off right now on angels. How I would say I had one encounter when I watched, what's the name? The funny guy that makes all the faces. Carrie guy, Heaven. But what was the movie he did? Huh? Bruce Almighty. You know, at the end, Bruce, whatever, Friedman is in a sign like that, you know, like a bear. And when I seen that, something happened to me, man. The Bible says be careful because angels come in human forms like us, that you might be entertaining angels. That person needing a handout, needing your help, and you're like, roll up the window, let's get out of here. And it's an angel. I want to let you know what I have spoken of, I put into practice yesterday, and it works. I said, Lord, I feel like Jacob right now, man. Give me a vision. I want my eyes open. I don't want to be asleep. I need it now. I shouldn't be going through this, Lord. I've been faithful, Lord. I shouldn't be going through this one right here. There's some that I caused. I understand that. I didn't cause this one. This ain't fair. It was one of them attacks. Everybody's saying, yeah, amen, amen. It's never fair when we're not getting our way or something is not right in our lives. I want to let you know that we have an open heaven here this day. We have an open heaven to our lives where angels are just waiting to hear you call upon the name of Jesus. Angels right now are ready to take an assignment. No matter how big the assignment is or how small the assignment is, if one angel can chain up the devil for 1,000 years with a chain, amen, you have an angel assigned to your life. I want to put everybody and challenge everybody when you're going through it to start seeing that vision of that, not the second Jacob, not the real Jacob, this one, that Jacob. The other guy was an imposter. So were all the angels and all of them, because some enemy comes as an angel of light also. Amen. He's an imposter. That's the real Jacob right there. Tell your neighbor, that's the real Jacob. What does it take? Can the Lord come upon your life like he did the life of Jacob? Initiate the dream. Initiate the vision of the angels and the stairway and the Lord at the very top in verse 13. Yes. But I believe some of us, it's time for us to grow up and have a relationship with the Lord instead of just coming to church. See, when you have a relationship with the Lord, he abides within your life. And we already know what Scripture said there when he was speaking to Nathanael, that heaven would open and the angels were descending and ascending upon the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of God. I know I have that access. It's been taking place, but I've never thought that way, right? I knew I had backup, or I was one lucky character for 18 years. I knew I've always had backup all along. I've known it, but now to really be able to see it, that I have angels that are going to back me up, that you can see that your children got angels that are backing them up. You can see that, as they say, oh, it must be Peter's angel. That angels are real. Not only are they powerful, they're obedient. They're servants. You break that word in the Greek, there's just simply messengers of God. Messengers of God. What happens when the angels come and they help us in everything? We become messengers of God. We are able to proclaim the truth of the kingdom of God that we couldn't do without their assistance, that we couldn't do without having a relationship with the Lord. So here this day, 10 till 12, good stuff, good stuff. This is what we have available to us. I don't care if your life represents Jacob, you're on the run, but if you keep reading on his story, he meets up with back with his brother again, and good things take place. Because God said he would take care and watch him even though he had messed up. I believe a lot of us have messed up before, and God says, I got you. But you need to tap into what's truly taking place behind the scene. Behind the scene. For your life. You need to know that we got kingdom access, heaven access. Even though we're in this end time earth that's going down the tubes fast and quick, we got kingdom access. We've got heaven access. We got angel assistance. We got Holy Ghost power here this day. But we need to put it into application. Amen. As we go, the worship team kindly please comes forth. My prayers before I walked up, I says, Lord, open the heavens. Open the heavens. Open the heavens. Before I walked up, I said, Lord, open the heavens. Let your message take place within their lives. To say no to kingdom access, to God's power in our lives, in a time of trouble, that's not using wisdom. And sometimes we need to humble ourselves to receive what the Lord has for our lives and what the Lord wants to do through our lives. You need to know here this day that you're connected to somebody. You're somebody's angel. You're going to assist somebody to heaven. He told Nathanael, you shall see greater things than this. This blew your mind, Nathanael? Man, you're going to see greater things. You're going to see the heavens open and angels descending and ascending. Now, did I literally see them last night when I went to my office? No. I would love to lie like now, right now. Many pastors would. When they preach about giving, I want to let you know that before you walk out the door, you're going to have a letter waiting for you at the mailbox, and I don't do that stuff. It's truth here this day. Let it liberate you as we stand here this